You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
And here we go, kicking off hour number three of the show with Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920. And that unnecessary word, man, took a very unnecessary turn today as far as the streets of Las Vegas and the campus of UNLV, as there was a shooting earlier today around noon. We know for a fact three victims are dead, one in critical condition, and the shooter, one shooter, is deceased at UNLV. We'll continue to update you on that as we get more information, as we also try to navigate and get into a little bit of sports as well, as it's all real life and it comes at you really fast. And to help us talk about something that's taking place here in Las Vegas, the in-season tournament, Andre Snellings from ESPN joins us now on the phone lines. And Dre, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate you. I wish it was under better circumstances. I know when I reached out, it was a great day in Las Vegas, and all of a sudden it made a quick, sharp turn, but that's how life goes at times. And so we're just trying to update people as we can with this situation. But I did want to ask you about this in-season tournament, man. I had my doubts when it was first announced that it was going to happen, but so far it seems like it's been a really good thing for the NBA so far. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, so far the tournament has outperformed my expectations, I guess. I was out there in Vegas with you this summer at the Summer League when they kind of, you know, announced the tournament, and I didn't really know what to expect. You know, the goal was to, you know, increase enthusiasm among both the players and the viewers early in the season. You know, there's kind of the unofficial Christmas time start to the NBA season. They wanted the NBA to start before that. And so far, it seems like that's what's happening. The players seem to be taking it seriously, and we've gotten some really high-quality games, both in the play-in games, I guess, and then last night and the night before, the knockouts were some of the better games of the year. Even the ones that ended up in the blowout were really entertaining. So I've been enjoying the product they put on the floor.
Yeah, I have as well. And like I said, I was surprised. I didn't know what to expect when they first announced it. I will say one thing I wasn't a big fan of is some of the floors itself. Like the Lakers floor seems to be a little bit bright for my likings.
Yeah, you got to turn the contrast down on your TV when they play in, on these bright floors.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But, I mean, again, the competition has been really good. The Final Four are set. You've got Milwaukee and Indiana. And let's start with the Pacers. I think this tournament not only has got these guys really playing and competing and got people paying attention to the NBA earlier than they would, but they're also learning about some of these teams that they might not have been focused in on, like the Pacers, and how good and young they really are.
Absolutely. The Pacers have been one of the revelations of the early NBA season for me. They become must-watch NBA league pass on a nightly basis, because the analogy I've been using, I use it on Twitter, X, I use it online, I use it in an article
right,
too, is they remind me of cross-sport analogy, the 1999, the Greatest Show on Turf,
right,
that Rams team with Kurt Warner. Because they're all offense from every angle. Tyrese Halliburton is just coming in, and I mean, I feel like that brother could average 30 and 15 for the season, and it wouldn't be unusual because he's playing at that level on a nightly basis, and they're pushing the pace, and they're not even pretending that they play defense.
Right.
I think they're number one in the NBA in offensive efficiency and next to last in defensive efficiency. And so, you know, that makes for these high-scoring games. You know, when I was growing up, date myself, back in the 80s, you know, like the Denver Nuggets used to play these 154 to 147-type games. Well, now we're getting that pretty regularly from the Pacers. And this next game, you know, they're about to play the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks, surprisingly, because they've been good on defense the last few years, they also are all offense and no defense this year. So,
right.
I mean, if this game go to overtime, they might put 400 points on the board.
Yeah, they very well could. And, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks, they have Dame. That was the big trade that they made to go and get Giannis some help. What have you thought about that you know, 1-2 punch, that Batman and Robin? And how do you feel about them in this tournament? Because I think a lot of people think that they have a real good chance of winning the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be among the favorites now. I think coming into it, a lot of people had the Celtics as their favorite. because, you know, they, a lot of people think they're the best team in the NBA overall. But the Pacers handled them. They're out the way now. So I think the Dame Lillard integration into the Bucks is still ongoing. Mm-hmm. When the season started, it really felt like, you know, like, what's the word? Synergy. They were lacking synergy. It was like either Giannis would go or Dame would go. But I felt like they always had the potential to play off of each other. You know, the fact that you have to build a wall to stop Giannis means that Dame should get as many open looks from three as he wants. And the fact that Dame makes you guard him out to 35 feet should really open up and put some holes in that wall so Giannis can go to the rim. And so I think we're starting to see some of that now. And I think that once Chris Middleton, if he can get fully healthy this year, he's been easing up his minutes from like 10 to 15 a game to, I think now he's up in the 20s. If he's able to get back to even, say, 80, 85% of what he is when he's at his best, I think the three of them are going to be a really, really potent offensive combo. I don't know what's happened to the defense. I don't know if that's Dame. I don't know if that's coaching. But I think that if they want to win a championship, they have to pick that up as well. But in the meantime, like I said, this all offense, no defense sort of style makes for some entertaining games.
It has been very, very entertaining. And again, Andre Snellings is our guest here from ESPN, talking all things in-season tournament and NBA in general here on Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness. I did want to ask you about the 76ers, and I realize that they're not playing, but they've been playing some good ball, and they don't have James Harden. They traded him to the Clippers, and they got rid of him. So I thought that they've been playing at a pretty high level without James, and seemed like Joel Embiid's ready to take that next step. What have you thought about the 76ers in general?
Yeah, I just wrote an article on them last week about how I kind of feel like everyone wrote them off with the Harden saga, especially once he was traded and they didn't bring another all-star back. But they clearly had another all-star in reserve in Tyrese Maxey. And so with Harden gone, Maxey has stepped up. He's averaging like 27 points, and his assist-to-turnover ratio is something absurd. Like, it's only a handful of players in the league with the better one, and they're all guys like Chris Paul or Tyrese Halliburton that you think of as true, true point guards. Whereas, you know, Tyrese Maxey was thought of as more of kind of like a scoring combo guard, and he's still giving you that 27-28 a game. So that next to Joel Embiid. And, oh, by the way, the new coach has kind of changed the way they use Embiid. Instead of operating so much out of the post the way Doc Rivers, you know, used him, which, by the way, led to an MVP, so it was great utilization. But Nick Nurse has Embiid playing out on the perimeter more, doing more decision-making, and he's averaging like 6.5 assists a game. It would be like an absurd career high for him. So you put those, and you still got guys like Tobias Harris. I think Kelly Oubre was an underreported signing because he was playing really well before the car accident, and he's supposed to be back tonight. The 76ers have some talent. I think they'll continue to make noise as long as Embiid stays healthy.
And I'm going to get back to the in-season tournament in a quick second, but that team that James Harden was traded to, the L.A. Clippers, they have Paul George, they have Kawhi Leonard, they have James Harden, they have Russell Westbrook. Do they have a chance? Is that team going to have a chance? What can you tell us about the Clippers?
I mean, so from the time that, again, I was in Las Vegas when it was reported that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were going to the Clippers. And, you know, the two of them have so much star power out on the wing, you know, two-way players, that it always felt like they should have a puncher's chance. And I really thought they had good synergy with Westbrook, the two of them in Westbrook. It felt like Westbrook was kind of like the battery power for the team, and he was pushing the pace, and the other two were able to just kind of fall in and do what they do. I think that when they added Harden, it kind of disrupted the apple cart, and it still kind of remains to be seen what their new product's going to look like. In a perfect world, Harden could play more off-ball and be more of a spot-up shooter to still let Westbrook be the engine and Kawhi and George do their thing. But that's not really in Harden's DNA. That man came to the press conference and said, I'm not a system player, I am the system.
Right.
And even though he's, 34 years old, he's in his low 30s. He still believes that. So I think that they have a chance to be competitive. I think they, you know, can start winning and make the playoffs, maybe win a round. I would be surprised in the extreme were they to actually win the championship. But again, you know, they at least have a puncher's chance on any given night.
Right. Yeah. They got something going on there in L.A. I'll see it, or I'll believe it when I see it, Dre, just because there's too much going on there. And James Harden isn't that guy as far as I'm concerned. But the team that is and the guy that is that guy is LeBron James and the L.A. Lakers, man. They've been cooking with grease. They really have this in-season tournament. They've taken it very seriously. LeBron James, I know he gets older, but does he really get older, Dre? Because he seems like he's still doing it at such a high level.
Man, I was watching that game last night, and there was a play when LeBron was in traffic, and one of his teammates threw him an alley-oop. And the reason it didn't work is because they threw the ball too low. Like, he was so high that he had to, like, reach back and try to get the ball to dunk it. And it's like, that man's going to be 39 years old this month. You know, he always says he spends like $1 million a year, you know, on his physical, on his body, and technology is, I don't know what's in the water. You know,
right.
I heard Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce talking about him the other day. He was like, man, we ain't never seen no stuff like this before.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it is, you know, he is still the best player on the court on a pretty much nightly basis. Last night they played the Suns. And, you know, you've got LeBron, you've got Durant, you've got Anthony Davis, you've got Devin Booker. And LeBron was the best player on the court. And it was ultimately the difference. They got some good work out of Austin Reeves as well. But LeBron is still able to play at a high level as long as he's on the court. Where it seems like age is started catching up with him is his propensity for injury. But thus far this season, that hasn't been an issue. And so, yeah, you're seeing the Lakers play at a high level. They're undefeated so far in this in-season tournament. They're the number one seed in the West. And, you know, they're just too big for the Suns. We saw that again last night.
Right.
The Pelicans have a little bit of size, but I don't know if they're dynamic enough. Yeah, I think it really all is going to come down to Anthony Davis, who used to play for the Pelicans.
Yep.
So if Davis plays like he played last night, then the Lakers should have the advantage against his old team. If he plays like he plays on the nights when, what was it, even odd days in the playoffs?
Yes.
The off day?
Yep.
Then anything can happen.
Right. There's no doubt. There is no doubt about that, man. I mean, you just never really know when it comes to Anthony Davis what he's going to bring on the nightly. Finally, I'll ask you about the trade deadline. I know it's not for a while, but do you think that the Lakers in particular are a team that needs to make a move or two to kind of bolster their team to where they want to be?
So I feel like the Lakers, they were big players in last year's trade deadline,
mm-hmm.
right? And
yep.
they had the mismatched team with Westbrook, and they traded and brought in, like, a lot of younger players, a lot of shooters, and it really bolstered them on their run in the second half of the season. Then in the offseason, they kind of kept that core and even added a few little pieces to it when I really didn't think they had the flexibility to do very much. So if they were to make a trade, you know, one that does anything with splash, it would almost have to involve D'Angelo Russell because he's one of the only young players with a contract big enough to be included in an impact move. I don't know if I feel like they have to do that, but I think that we've seen both in the playoffs last year and in their matchup earlier this year that they don't have an answer for Nikola Jokic. Like, AD is just, he don't weigh enough to do anything with Jokic. And so
right.
if they do make a move, that's what I would like to see them bring in, is someone with a big enough body to be able to bang with Jokic, even if he's going to be a role player. Because if it's not an Embiid-type center or like the Milwaukee Bucks with all their size, the teams that I've seen have the most success against Jokic have put like a role player on him and then had an athletic power forward that could help out, you know, and try to block his shots when he goes into the paint. And so if the Lakers need to bring in somebody like that so that AD doesn't have to try to guard him, but instead can be the help guy. But other than that, I don't think there's any team in the West that they really can't do anything with.
Right. Well, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I'm looking forward to this this finals and seeing how it all plays out here in Las Vegas. Of course, it's going to be, you know, the next few days, it's going to be very busy. It's going to be a lot of folks here in around town checking out the NBA action. Dre, as always, my man, great stuff. What are you working on that we should be on the lookout for?
Oh, yeah. So I'm actually going to be writing up. So the tournament is tomorrow night. And so once the winners are decided, I'm going to be writing one of Dre Analytics pieces or Snelling's Analytics pieces, where I really go in depth with a player or a team and get into why they are having the success that they are and what that might be mean from either a betting or a fantasy perspective. So last week I wrote about the 76ers, and this week I'm going to write about one of the teams that makes the finals, and it's going to come out on Friday.
All right, good stuff, man. I appreciate you as always. I know it's kind of a weird and wonky day here in Vegas, but thanks so much for making some time. I definitely appreciate you, my man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and prayers up for everyone involved.
Thank you, my man. Thank you so much. Andre Snelling is right there, ESPN. Fantastic dude, fantastic writer. And just like everyone else, very, compassionate about the situation in hand going on here in Las Vegas. One quick text from Dylan. He said, prayers to everyone affected today. From what it sounds like, all the police and first responders were well prepared and ready to help. Thank you to everyone helping in this very difficult time. And that is spot on, Dylan. Fantastic text. And yes, I can't say it enough. Again, thank you to all the first responders and the police that were well prepared for this situation. Let's go back out to the campus of UNLV and here on Fox 5 News, what's going on, the latest and, not the greatest, obviously, but just the latest with what's going on.
I bring in here Jadrian's a junior at UNLV. She was and you've been in communication with them. What's that been like?
They've been nervous, but we've been in constant communication. I just miss them, and I want to get home to them as soon as possible.
Understandable. Thank you so much, Adrian. Appreciate it. That's going to be all for now from the convention center. Again, we're waiting for some more buses to pull up, drop some more students off. We're going to try to get in contact with them in just a little bit. For now, reporting live from the convention center, Mike Allen, Fox 5 News, local Las Vegas.
All right, so there you go. That was a quick little update, and we thought that we had that timed a little bit better, but we didn't. But that's okay. That again, everything is in fast, quick motion real quick. So we're trying to keep everyone updated. And when people are being interviewed, we're trying to go and get that update. We're just trying to see. I'm trying to read this real quick in real time. It looks like there should be another update from the sheriff coming sooner rather than later with what's going on. I saw Mad Max Crosby had said something about the situation that was going on. Wanted to go ahead and pass that along to you if I could find it. It was, here it is real quick. We're doing this in real time, sorry. Sending prayers to all the victims and families affected by the awful tragedy at UNLV today. That was from Max Crosby, so I wasn't sure exactly. I saw his name pop up on Twitter and something that he had said, and I knew it was referring to this situation. Mike, hit us up on the don'tbebroke.com text line at 702-365-9200. That old number will get out of my head at some point. 702-365-9200 says, thanks, Q. Being a steady voice during the sad time, it's a scary world out there, and this is an unnecessary reminder that we need to be the best human beings that we can. That's from my guy Mike, and yeah, you're spot on. I can't say it enough. I've been trying to say it in the best way I can, and it hasn't always come out so smooth. It's not the easiest conversation to have, especially when, you know, you have obviously no idea that this is going on. This all happened in real time. At noon is when it really started, and of course that's when the JT's show started, and they were all over it early. I mean, spent a lot of time on this and let the news, you know, kind of navigate what was going on throughout the course of the afternoon. Let's go back out to the streets real quick and get one more quick update as they're interviewing a young lady.
Adding to the complications for people trying to get to their loved ones, we do want to bring in this interview that we did with the mother of one of the students at UNLV.
I was sitting at lunch. I teach at an elementary school, and my daughter texted me, Mom, in case anything happens, I love you. And that's the worst message you can get from your kid because you don't know why. And then she didn't answer the phone. And then Devin texted me that there's an active shooter at UNLV. So I left work as soon as I could and got down here, and within that short amount of time I found out that my daughter was okay, she was in the actual building where the shooter was, yes.
What did she tell you about that?
I haven't heard much yet, just that they heard the shots and there was a siren that went off, but everyone was confused. They didn't really know what it was. So everybody started trying to leave, and then when they were trying to leave, someone was pushing them back into the room saying, no, you have to go back in the room, and then they sheltered in place and until they were allowed to leave. So they were evacuated off-site or by the architecture building, but then they were given no direction, so they didn't know what to do. She's still down on the other side of campus.
You were saying this is the worst 20 minutes that you've ever experienced.
Definitely. You don't love anything more than your children, so yeah, the worst 20 minutes. I couldn't get here fast enough.
Well, so. She's safe.
She is safe. Yeah. I'm so happy. I'm one of the lucky parents, so I feel for all the parents that don't get to see their children tonight.
And we've been told that there are several victims.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that, being a parent, knowing, you know, going through those emotions.
There's nothing to explain. I mean, I just horrific, just the most horrific feeling ever. That's all I can say. I mean, any parent knows the worst thing is something happening to their child. And I felt the unknowing, not knowing that for 20 minutes or so.
And let me ask you, are all your friends, as far as you know, all your friends, and usually your sister's safe, but all your friends are okay?
So far, I have some friends sheltering in some buildings in the process of being evacuated. But, I'm from here. I went to high school here, so I know everyone. So I don't really know, like...
You don't know quite yet.
About everyone, yeah.
Not only is Metro dealing with a huge logistical challenge of moving these students from the TNM down to the convention center, but now the process of investigating this has begun. For Mariah Jano, she tells us that an officer came over a speaker instructing any witnesses to go to Cox Pavilion, which is by the TNM, to be interviewed. And again, SWAT officers are coming and going from the scene of the shooting as well. So it's both a recovery period, but also a period to begin investigating who the shooter was, what were their motives, why did they target the people they targeted.
So that's the latest update right there from the campus of UNLV. And could you hear that, mother? I mean, literally, I'm sitting here in Studio Q. Ari's in the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio, and I have, like, tears going down my face. I mean, I really do. That mother said, I got a text from my daughter saying, if anything happens, I love you. And like she said, that is the worst text that you want to receive. You don't want that text. You do not ever want to get a text like that. And she said it was 20 minutes from her to get from her job to where she had to get. And that had to be the longest 20 minutes of her life. Again, there's no playbook, you know? There's no right or wrong, I don't know, way to put this and navigate through this, but kids shouldn't have to do that. A kid should not have to reach out to their mother or their father and say that just in case something happens, I love you. They shouldn't have to. They just shouldn't have to. I apologize for, you know, this not being the professional show that it normally would be, but, you know, it kind of is what it is. I'm not really worried about it. Again, what we know from the Las Vegas Metro Police Department is there's three victims that are dead. There's one in critical condition, and one shooter is deceased at UNLV. And one is too many, right? I mean, it could be a massive amount. It could be one, but one is too many. And hearing from that parent, I mean, all you could do is put yourself in their shoes and think what she was going through. That's all I could do. .423 is the time. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Give you some more updates. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by Porta Subs. Make sure you check out Porta Subs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area Porta Subs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
4:28 is the time. It's Raider Nation Radio 920. Had a lot of feedback on the don'tbebroke.com text line at 702-365-9200. Vegas Pete, it's a good idea to practice what to do in emergency situations so you can stay calm in those situations. It helps panic unravels planning. And I know what he means by that. Yeah, it's really good what the first responders and police have done. They are very well prepared in this situation to try to help out and calm down the situation as quickly as possible and really had a plan of attack, and we definitely appreciate what they've done. Let's go back out to, I believe they're at the convention center in Fox 5. Shauna's there. Let's check in with her, and I believe she's with a student.
At UNLV.
It was intense.
And how are you feeling now, being able to be with your loved ones, finally being able to go home after all these hours of, I'm sure, a very scary situation for you?
Honestly, like, having to go, being separated, everything that happened, I cried for several hours, and I'm probably going to go home and cry again. And, yeah, it's going to be just a long week.
Thank you so much for sharing with us, Danny. We're very glad you're all right. Thank you. I'll send it back to you guys in the studio.
Shauna Khalafi at the Convention Center, where students have begun the process of trying to heal from this through the Reunification Center. We have that number, 702-455-AID. Shauna, we thank you so much, and we're going to keep you there and check back with you as more students roll in. And it's going to be a very long process. In fact, the lockdown continues at campus, and students are still holed up in classrooms as police go from building to building, room to room, to slowly clear them. It is the world, you know, it is a huge crime scene right now. But again, we just don't know about this shooter, whether this shooter was a student, whether it was someone who lived off campus or had any affiliation at all with campus. Let's get out to Joe Vigil. He's been talking to students out there today. Joe, what do you have for us?
Yeah, that's right, John. So I'm with Eric Yonka and Rasheem McCain, both first-year law students here at UNLV. So, guys, you're just getting out of the Thomas and Mack Center. Tell me what happened prior to that then.
We were kind of held in the law school for a few hours, and then the police came and did their tactics, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they escorted us to the Thomas Mack Center.
And now you're just leaving, going home?
Yeah.
Okay. And Rasheem, what was it like inside when you were in there, in the classroom for a couple hours?
It was just kind of very not knowing what to do or whether or not we should leave or not. We were all just kind of sitting there deciding whether or not we should leave or to stay. Some of us wanted to leave early, but some of us weren't given the opportunity to.
Just basically stayed in there. We've heard of different students putting things in front of the door and that kind of thing. Did any of that happen in your class?
Not in my classroom, but maybe in some others.
Right. And what are your thoughts about everything that happened on UNLV today?
It's a tragic accident. It's very sad. We come here at institution to gain a higher education, and then it's very unfortunate that accidents like this happen.
And there is certainly the loss of life you've heard. I mean, what do you think about hearing that?
I also think it's tragic. I think it's a waste of human life. I hope justice will be brought to the families.
All right, guys, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. All right, John and Jacqueline, so again, you know, we're just talking to people here. People, again, still waiting in class, some people waiting for police to clear it, and then when they do, they'll end up leaving, either going to the Thomas and Mack or then leaving campus. Back to you.
And Joey, want to show an RTC bus here with students.
So there you go. Just a update right there. A couple of the law students you hear that were in the classroom, and sounds like they were encouraged to stay there. Maybe they weren't as on lockdown as some other parts of the campus were, but again, more students that have to replay and relive. And we heard from another young lady before those two students that she cried for a couple hours, and then she's probably going to go home and cry some more because it's never going to happen to us, right? That's what we always say. We see stuff happen. We check out the news. I mean, I'm a faithful watcher of the news every single morning, 5:30, wake up, me and the wife turn on the news, and we're watching it. 9 times out of 10, it's bad, right? You watch it, but it's never going to happen to you. It's not going to happen around you. It's, oh, man, it's a tragedy what happened over there. But then when it hits home and happens right in front of you, man, it hits you like a ton of bricks. It really does. The Las Vegas Metro Police Department is going to have a briefing coming up at 5 o'clock. The sheriff that we heard from at the very top of the show, You'll hear from him again. Again, that's coming up at 5 o'clock. And, Ari, we might just go ahead and just keep it there at 5. And just to, if he starts right at 5, if not, we'll kind of navigate. But, yeah, we'll see how that goes. You know, it's like there's nothing that – I don't want to say there's nothing he could say that's going to be good. There is if it's very minimal. But as I mentioned before, even one life is too much, right? One victim is too much. So I don't ever want to take, you know, make it sound like it's less. But I'm hoping that it's not the, you know, a massive amount of lives. Again, one is too many. That's massive enough. But you just, in these kind of scenarios, as Adam Hill rolled out earlier and mentioned to us when he was here for the 1 October, I mean, numbers are so easy to kind of get messed up and not really know, because these officers are going through every single classroom, going through every single, you know, spot there on UNLV, going all over the campus, and we don't know. We don't know what they're experiencing. We don't know what they're finding. We don't know what they're seeing. So that's why we continue to update you on what we believe we know. But I thought Adam said it perfectly when he said, I don't really, you know, trust numbers until we know for sure what it is. And I'm sure that we probably won't know that for quite a while. The numbers that we're looking at right now and that are being reported is that 3 have been killed. The suspect is dead. And there's also a victim in critical condition currently at the hospital. That's what's being reported as of right now, as of 4:35. Now at 5 o'clock, the sheriff will give another update to the media and be able to pass that along. And if we're not on the air when that happens, then we'll pass it along by way of Twitter, you know, or our sister station, ESPN Las Vegas and Fox Sports Las Vegas will continue to update this as well. We've all been all hands on deck, and that's what we have to do. And it's a lot easier to go in and talk about sports and talk about this player not being a good player, or, man, this guy, need to replace this guy, or, man, this coach isn't good, or what is he doing? It's so much easier to do that. Today is when you're put to the test. Days like today is when you're put to the test to see what you're made of. And it's not a competition, but these aren't easy days, right? And this has not been a smooth show. This is not one I would turn in for an award, that's for sure, right? But it's what we've got to do. It's what we've got to continue to update, and we've got to continue to make sure that we take care of and appreciate our community. And that goes for anyone who's listening out of town as well. You've got to make sure that you take care of your community as well. And I don't care where the school shooting happens. That is the worst of the worst. Anyone who has a kid, has a child, has been a child, right? I mean, it's just never, it's got to be the worst of the worst. Something that my mom told me years ago when I was little, and I don't even think I understood what it meant at that point. She told me a lot of things that I didn't understand at one point, but she said, you're supposed to bury me, I'm not supposed to bury you. And there's at least 3 that we know that that's not what's going to happen for them. That's not what's going to happen for their families. There's nothing worse, nothing, than a parent having to bury their child. There's nothing worse than that. Nothing. So when you hear about these situations and you see these situations, and We unfortunately become so numb to these situations. It's heartbreaking. President Joe Biden said just hours ago, the University of Nevada at Las Vegas became the latest college campus to be terrorized by a horrific act of gun violence, and the community is still awaiting information on casualties. Jill and I join citizens across our nation in praying for the families of our fallen and for those who were injured during these latest acts of senseless violence. That's what it is. The Raiders said, the Raiders are deeply saddened by the tragic events that occurred at UNLV today. Our hearts go out to the victims, their families, and all those that are affected by this senseless act of violence. We're committed to helping our friends at UNLV and the greater Las Vegas community heal and are grateful for the efforts of our first responders. Grumpy-ass Mexican, hit us up on the don'tbebroke.com text line, 702-365-9200. Damn, that mom that was just in the news, man, brought tears to my eyes. As a parent, I can't imagine that text or call. Then the drive. I'd be driving like a bat out of hell, Q. You guys are doing an amazing job with the coverage. Prayers to all involved, and we can only pray this doesn't happen again. But it will, unfortunately. Again, people don't take this for granted. Make sure you always tell your people how you feel. Show them you care. Love them. We aren't guaranteed the next second of life. Best wishes all the way up here from Seattle. Prayers to the first responders. That's from Grumpy-Ass Mexican. Big Dub Raider said, afternoon, fellas. My thoughts and prayers are with the families. It's crazy. I got a call from my wife an hour ago saying my youngest son's elementary is on lockdown because of an escaped prisoner from the local hospital. Crazy times. Thank you, guys. That's from Big Dub Raider. And hopefully all is well with your son as well, my man. Raider Mike from Colorado. Don't have to apologize, Q, for being human with a heart. Much respect for you being you. Football can wait. Real life happened today. Don't be ashamed for not talking Raiders. It's Raider Mike in Colorado. Thanks for the text, my man. Appreciate you. And yeah, today's been a roller coaster of emotions for sure, my man. So we do the best that we can, but it's not easy. That's for sure. Got a text. Brother, so sad for everyone and anyone affected by the senseless violence at UNLV. I also think about you as I hear you talk about the pain of bearing a child. Praying for you and everyone else, my brother. We'll get through it, I promise. We only got 20 minutes. We'll get through it. I'm going to make it to the finish line, Ari, I promise. I won't fall apart.
I'm with you.
I'm working on it. You said the Aces released a statement as well?
Yeah, I'll go ahead. It's our thoughts are with all those impacted by this senseless act of violence, and our thanks go out to those first responders and medical professionals whose actions this afternoon undoubtedly saved lives. As the healing process begins for UNLV's students, faculty, and staff, the Aces stand committed to assist in any way we can.
That's from the Las Vegas Aces, and, you know, it's just tough, man. It's just tough. What a tough day.
Yeah, I'm right there, and I don't have kids, and I absolutely still could somehow understand the pain somehow. Like, I can't really understand it, but I...
Well, you know,
it's...
You got a heart.
Right, yeah, that's all you really need to get,
you know,
how awful it is, yeah.
Yeah. My man Mickey said, rough day, man. Prayers up, bro. It's a good friend, Mickey. Yeah, this is tough, man. This is not the day that I think anybody expected, that's for sure. Not anybody over there. I guarantee you that. Not anybody who's dealing with this right now, and the day's only going to be so much longer. I guarantee there's some students right now still in classrooms on lockdown at UNLV that is just waiting to be woken up from the nightmare, right? It's got to be a bad dream, right? You ever had those bad dreams where you're so happy when you wake up? Unfortunately, this is that bad dream that you're happy when you wake up from. That's not a dream. It's not that nightmare. This is real life. And it doesn't come with owner's manual. I say it all the time. It doesn't come with an owner's manual. And you do the best you can with what you got to work with. And you hope that the people around you, if worst case scenario, you can hug them tight and go from there. 4:43 is the time. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll close out the show. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
A couple more minutes left in the show. A couple more texts we want to get to real quick from the don'tbebroke.com text line at 702-365-9200 from Alan. Hey, all my support is with you. I'm glad everyone I know at school is safe. It's tough when you know the school, the buildings, all that, where it happened. We'll get through it. We're a huge family at UNLV, and nobody shows resilience like the Las Vegas community. Check in on your people anyway just to make sure. That's Alan in Vegas. Also, Rudy Q, I'm sorry for your loss and that those are the innocent victims at UNLV. I was a cop for 42 years, and I've seen a lot. This is the type of tragedy that time won't heal. That's from Rudy. Thanks so much. Yeah, and all prayers to the families and the victims there at UNLV. This isn't about me. This is about them. And just the position that their parents are now in, and even the ones that did not become victims, they're still victims because they have to relive that in their mind of what happened at school. Also, this one's from Sir Whiskey Ray. Thank you to you and Ari for holding it down today. We all appreciate during this difficult time. I'm getting emotional here, and I'm in the Bay. As soon as I picked up my stepson a few minutes ago, I gave him a big hug. I'm coaching his basketball team tonight. We'll definitely do a prayer before tonight's game. Much love to you and the Vegas community. That's from Sir Whiskey Ray. Let's go back out to the convention center one more time, and I believe the reporter has some of the parents that are standing by right now.
Got a text from my daughter Mackenzie to our family group chat saying, I don't want you to be worried. I love you. I'm safe. I'm bunkered down in the library on the second floor. There's an active shooter. Then all hell broke loose at my work. Everyone was running around, checking on their family members, checking on their children, their loved ones. I was staying updated with Mackenzie. We were worried, you know, I want to give a kudos to the UNLV police and the Metro. They did an amazing job on the response time. And my heart, my prayers and thoughts go out to all the families who lost anyone or anyone was injured. This is really a tragic day, but as we all know, we will get through Vegas strong.
Obviously a huge shock in the moment, Denny. Must have been a pit of your stomach type feeling. But over the next few hours, obviously it took a little bit of time before you were able to see your student. Talk about what those next few hours were like.
I was just worried, like, what's going to happen? How am I going to get to my daughter? Is she going to be able to get a ride home from her friend? And then, you know, they came out of school and they were told, no, we're getting on a bus. We're going to the convention center. Started logging off at work, and I lived here for most of my life. So I just, you know, I know there's a lot of construction and traffic. Thank God for the Waze app, man. I put that in and I was able to get down here within 40 minutes. And you guys, everybody did a great job. They directed me where to park my car and then got in and got all checked in and was communicating with Mackenzie on the phone and told her I was here. We just got to wait until, you know, they processed the paperwork and, you know, reunite us back together. It was touch and go. It was up and down. But once I knew she was safe and out of there, and I felt a lot of relief. So
there you go. Sounds from a father that was communicating with his daughter. And clearly he was worried and concerned and happy to hear that she was okay. How about this? This is my guy, too. DJ Mike. How about DJ Mike? A lot of people know DJ Mike. Big time DJ, always DJing in Lot J, always DJing at all the Raider parties, one of the best DJs in the city, as far as I'm concerned, travels all over the world. He just reached out to me and said, bro, I was in the building, and the shooter tried to get in the room I was DJing in. Prayers up. Clearly, DJ Mike is okay because he's texting me, but you want to talk about prayers up. Absolutely. And I'm so thankful that he sent that text. I had no idea that he was on campus. But that's someone that I, you know, consider a real close friend. Had no idea till right now. Can you imagine that? Being in the building? Being in the room that the shooter tried to get into? I couldn't imagine what's going through his head. Couldn't imagine it. I'm glad he's okay. I know he's glad. Him and his family are glad that he's okay. But could you imagine being in that position where the shooter tried to get into the room that you're in, and you think Mike, while he's DJing, is paying attention to everybody walking in and out the door? Nah, he's focused on spinning that wax. playing the hits, making sure everybody has a good time. Man, Mike, so glad that you're okay. Wow. What a testimony. What a testimony. They're going to have a briefing at 5 o'clock. Sheriff is going to speak again, kind of let you know everything that's going on. My man Rod hit us up on Twitter, right on cue when that mom talked. I got emotional. You're real. Thanks for being you and what you do. Joey said, damn, Q has me choked up driving home. What an awful event. And, yeah, that's what it's all about. Black Hole Jr. said, wow, so sad. And it really is. It really is. So it's been a day. It really has. And it's not going to end just because the show ends. That's for sure. This goes on. The show will change, but this goes on. So prayers to everybody. Hug your loved ones. Really hug your loved ones. Let them know that you love them. We'll be back tomorrow, Raider Nation Radio 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.